Amen. Good morning. So glad you're here today for our worship time together as a body of believers in this place. I've got a few things I need to share with you as we get started this morning relative to the life of this body of Christ that meets here at Maryville. First of all, today is a small group Sunday, and there are handouts at the end of the pew. So if you'd be so kind to take those handouts and pass them down the aisle if you've not already done so, so everyone on your row can get one, it will help in following along with the sermon this morning. Today is our last small group meeting for this term before our summer break. We'll start back in August, but today is the last meeting that we'll be having. And I want to remind all of our small group leaders to make sure and pick up your packet that is on Catherine's desk in the office. There's a packet there for you that includes the evaluation forms that I want you to distribute to your group members today and have everyone in your group fill out the evaluation form and then put it in the envelope and seal it and return it back to you and get those to me at the beginning of the week. I want to say a word also about yesterday's event. Benjamin's going to say more about that next week, but we've had a tremendous event yesterday with the Community Clothing Exchange, and I just want to say a personal word of thank you to everyone that contributed and that also volunteered to help with this great event yesterday. We serviced quite a few people that came through and were able to build some great relationships and friendships with some people. Thanks so much to Lou Ann for starting this this vision for this and the tremendous work that Benjamin did in organizing all of the efforts together. Just appreciate so much all of the hard work that was put into that yesterday. And so just a big thank you for that. You probably have noticed that we have had some work done as far as our video for the Sunday morning assemblies, well, all of our assemblies for that matter, and there's a rear projector now that is going to help with the sermon time and also with our song service. And I just want to say a word of thanks. We had some anonymous contributors that contributed financially toward making this happen so that we didn't have to take money from our regular budget for it. And I just want to say a thank you to those contributors that made that possible. Also, we've got some exciting things happening next month. In the month of May, the first of which is next week, we have the Fried Hardeman Choral Group that's going to be here to perform in the afternoon. They'll be with us at the Sunday morning worship assembly, worshiping with us, and then we'll have that devotional with them that will function as our evening service at 1 o'clock. After we have a meal together, I want to encourage everybody to bring some food and some to share with our guests that will be here for our potluck luncheon following our Sunday morning service next week. Then after luncheon, we'll come back up here and have our evening devotional together, and then the choral performance will be at 2 o'clock. So don't forget about that and be here, and I know you'll enjoy it immensely. Also, on the 24th of May, as you see on the front page of your bulletin, we're going to do a little something different this year. Every year, our youth group has a kickoff Sunday that includes a picnic and a worship gathering together out at Brad and Christy Martin's Pond. And they've been doing that for years, and we have been invited as a congregation to participate in that this year. And it's the day before Memorial Day, and so we're going to have a congregation-wide picnic that day, and we'll encourage everybody to come out, and that will function as our evening service time together, and we'll have a devotional worship service out there together and be joining with the youth. And the whole purpose of this is for us as a congregation to bridge the gap. Andy mentioned this morning in his class that a lot of times in the church, what happens unintentionally is that we put a lot of effort into our youth program, but then our youth program sometimes, if we're not careful, can become a church unto itself. And we don't want that to happen. We want to be one body. And we want to try to integrate all of us together as one. And one way we can do that is by supporting our youth program and finding out what they're doing and investing in them. And so this is an opportunity for us as a congregation to say thank you to our youth ministry and also find out what they're doing and celebrate the fact that we have a tremendous youth ministry here at Maryville. So we want to encourage you to be a part of that. There's information on the front page of the bulletin and more details will follow. So if you don't read your bulletin, shame on you, number one. But number two, you're missing out about what's going on. And that's one of our primary communication tools in this church. So if you don't know what's going on, it's probably because you're not reading your bulletin. So be sure and do that, and you'll be in the loop about what's happening as a body of believers here at Maryville. The Bible does frequently speak of the church in terms of being a body. The Bible describes the church as being the body of Christ, and we've been exploring that the last two sermons, and we're going to do so again this morning. Now, I want you to think for just a minute about the significance of that imagery. Why in the world, of all of the images, and by the way, there are other metaphors the Bible uses to describe who we are as God's people. We are God's temple. We are God's field. We are God's building. There's all kinds of imagery. We're the bride of Christ. There's all kinds of imagery. But one consistent image that is used quite often in the New Testament and throughout the book of Ephesians, which we've been centering our studies on in this series, is that we are the body of Christ. Now, that begs the question, why would God choose that metaphor? What is the significance of it? Well, I think there's a lot of significance to it, as we've been exploring. But one of the key concepts is that a body, by nature, is a living organism. Just like your human body. And a living organism, in order to thrive and to flourish and to be healthy, must be maintained and must be nourished. Now, this morning, as we explore together the idea of the body of Christ, we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. And it's in these verses that the Apostle Paul describes the body of Christ, the church, in several ways. He says, first of all, the church, you as a body of believers, you need to be unified together. You need to be balanced. There needs to be harmony in your togetherness. That's verse number 3. In verse number 12, he says the body needs to be built up. The body needs to be growing to the point of maturity. Verse number 13. And essentially what all of this is saying, in my judgment, is this. The body of Christ needs to be healthy. Well, how can that happen? How can the body of Christ thrive and flourish and be healthy? Well, Paul essentially identifies in these 16 verses three things that a healthy body needs. A healthy body of Christ. It needs balance, it needs a well-rounded diet, and it needs to be fit and active. And so let's look at all three of those as we travel together through Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. First of all, a healthy body needs balance. This is true of the human body. The human body needs balance in many different areas. I did some research this week and read some different medical journals and articles on the internet that have been published by various medical professionals. And there's a lot of things that have been written about the significance of balance in the human body. And I'm not just talking about, you know, an inner ear thing with the way you walk, although that's an important balance. But I'm also talking about things like a good pH balance, a balanced immune system, good mineral balance, a good balance of water and hydration in your body, a good electrolyte balance. All of these things are extremely important, and you don't really realize how important it is until one of those things get off balance. And you know something's not right. And you go to the doctor, you're feeling horrible, and you go to the emergency room, and they start testing you, and they say, oh, wait a minute, this particular thing is not in balance in your body. And so, you know, they may have to give you some fluids or they may have to supplement something to get your body back into balance. You see, when the body gets imbalanced, the human body that is, it gets sick. Or at the very least, it doesn't operate well. You see, balance is crucial, not just for the human body, but for the body of Christ, for the church to be healthy. And Paul is going to explore that in these first few verses of Ephesians 4, the importance of having a balance in the body of Christ between the negotiables of our faith and the non-negotiables of our faith. He begins by saying in verse number 1, we need to walk worthy of our calling. You might say, well, what's he talking about? What have we been called to as God's people? Well, up until this point in Ephesians, Paul has been emphasizing the lengths to which God has gone to make us alive in Christ Jesus, because formerly we were dead, we were separated, we were alienated not only from God, but from each other. And so in chapter 2, he talks about Christ made you alive in Christ Jesus. In chapter number 2, the last part of it, he says, God has united us all together from all of our different backgrounds and made us one as a single body, a single gathering, a united fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ. And so, this is our calling, to maintain what we have been given, to maintain this unity that has been gifted to us by God, to remain in harmony and to express love and concern and genuine well-being toward each other. Now, this kind of harmony is only possible whenever the body of Christ keeps the negotiables and the non-negotiables of our faith in proper balance. You see, Paul is specific. In verses 4 through 6, he tells us explicitly what the essential matters are of our faith about which there can be no compromise. There is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. These are the seven items upon which we find the foundation of our faith. The seven things that are the DNA of what it means to be a Christ follower. The very fabric that undergirds what it means to be the body of Christ. And so when you start tampering with those things or compromising those things, we cease to exist or at least begin to be sick or don't operate well or lose our identity as a people. And so these are the non-negotiables. And we need to have those firmly fixed and have them clearly understood in our minds. But now here's the point. Beyond these areas, beyond these seven things, we must allow one another, brethren, the freedom to have differences of opinion, differences of preference, differences of methodology about things that are outside of these seven areas that we cannot be certain about. We must be united in our commitment, verses 2 and 3, to have an attitude toward each other of humility and gentleness and patience and tolerance and love toward each other. And then he says in verse 3, you need to work hard. He says, I urge you, work hard to maintain the unity you've been given by the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But that's not what we often do. I think it's probably characteristic of our fallen human nature that we tend to, in our lives and in our relationships, to gravitate toward the things that we notice that make us different and to accentuate and focus on the differences between us, the things that separate us. But what Paul is saying here is, you have a higher calling. You have been called by God to something bigger and better. And that calling is that the Holy Spirit of God is calling us to be united together with each other in our differences, to understand each other, to be loving and humble and gentle and patient toward one another. When we begin, brethren, to judge each other over matters of preference, style, or methodology, as if they were matters of non-negotiable faith, we begin to treat the seven ones disrespectfully, as if they're not even there. But if we begin to treat the seven ones as if they're just opinion, they don't really matter, they're not really that foundational, then we also don't respect these seven ones, and we treat them as if they're only opinion. Either way, the body becomes imbalanced and the church becomes sick. What I'm saying is, for the body of Christ to be healthy, we must constantly remind ourselves that we have to keep in balance the things that are the essential things and keep them clearly in one place, and then give each other a wide berth and a lot of love and a lot of tolerance and a lot of freedom in any area outside of these seven ones for the sake of the unity of the body of Christ. We got to keep that in balance. Now, I'm going to just tell you. Satan does not want us to be united. Satan's main objective on this earth is to destroy the body of Christ. And you know the way you destroy the body of Christ? You cut it up and you separate it and divide it. And so Satan will try to get in your head and try to make you feel so strongly about a personal opinion that you try to force it on others as if it were one of the seven ones, like you're adding an eighth one. Or he might work it the other way and make you begin to question whether these seven ones are really that foundational or not. But either way, imbalance happens and Satan tries to divide us. And if we're going to be healthy as the body of Christ, we've got to be in balance on these areas. Number two, a healthy body of Christ needs a well-rounded diet. I think we all understand this. This is a constant message that we hear today from doctors and medical experts and health practitioners, the importance of having a well-balanced diet for the well-being and functionality of the human body. This week I read an article that listed about five reasons, why it has been proved that having a balanced diet in the physical human body is crucial. Five reasons why a balanced diet is important. Number one, it prevents disease and infections. Number two, it helps control weight. Number three, it promotes healthy body growth. Number four, it promotes mental health. And number five, it helps enhance beauty and attractiveness. Now, I hope you can see the connection by illustration of how that all five of these things very much would be connected to the health of the body of Christ as well. And you see that in these verses, because in this passage, Paul describes the importance of having a well-balanced diet to the health of the body of Christ, to spiritual teaching, having healthy spiritual teaching. In verse number 14, he says, "The body of Christ does not need to be carried away by every wind of doctrine and deceived by twisted religious teaching. It is important that the body of Christ grow up in every way into Christ," verse number 15. What's he talking about? He's talking about a healthy diet of teaching in the church that is balanced and well-rounded. Because if we don't have a well-rounded diet, the body of Christ will get sick and not function well. Churches become unhealthy whenever we have a tendency at times to perhaps focus on certain topics or issues to the exclusion of others. And I must say that that's a tremendous challenge in the role of a gospel preacher, to try to pick a well-balanced or provide a well-balanced diet of teaching to the body of Christ. To preach the whole counsel of God is a tremendous challenge. But sometimes we get off balance. If we have lots of teaching on baptism but very little teaching on grace, we're imbalanced. If we have lots of teaching on doctrine but little teaching on real discipleship, we're imbalanced. And the examples could go on and on. Paul says when that happens, you're immature. You're like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, verse number 14. And that is especially true when the diet of the body of Christ is not well balanced or well rounded. Spiritual maturity has very little to do with chronological age. You can be chronologically older and be very spiritually immature. But you could be very young chronologically and be more spiritually developed. We're not talking here about chronological age, but about spiritual maturity. And spiritual children, regardless of chronological age, will often clamor for imbalanced spiritual diets. You know, just like literal little children. For most of us that have little children, you know that if you give your kids the option of having cotton candy for dinner or Brussels sprouts for dinner, we know which way they're going every time. We head to the pantry for candy and cakes, but we don't want to eat our vegetables. This is unhealthy for the body of Christ. When the church is heavy in some areas, but then light in other areas, it becomes a situation where the body of Christ can become sick, it can stop growing, and it can quite honestly become unattractive to outsiders. To spiritually grow, we must know truth. We must know what is in the Bible. The Bible is the diet, it is the substance. But spiritual maturity is not synonymous with Bible knowledge alone. Spiritual maturity is synonymous with Bible application. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, Bible knowledge alone will puff you up and make you arrogant and hard to live with. You ever been around somebody who knew a lot of Bible? And they knew they knew a lot of Bible? And they were like a spiritual know-it-all? Nobody wants to be around them. You don't have any respect for the person, because they're like a religious robot that's got all the answers. They don't seem real. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1 says, while knowledge puffs up and makes you arrogant, love, which is one aspect of Bible application, it builds you up. You don't think that's true? Think about in Jesus' day. Who had more Bible knowledge than anyone else? The Pharisees. And who crucified the Savior of the world? The Pharisees. You see, spiritual maturity doesn't mean just knowing the Bible. It means doing the Bible, living the Bible. For the body to be healthy, we don't just need a well-rounded diet. We need, number three, healthy activity. Bodies that lack activity become fat. God has placed leaders in the church for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. You see that in verse number 12. It's the very reason why he says there are leaders in the church. They're the apostles, they're the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the pastor, teachers. The reason they're there, the reason God placed them there is to, look at that verse 12, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The church will only grow and the body of Christ will only thrive when we are active. Look at the next part. For the building up of the body of Christ. Now follow me on this. Just like in the human body, exercise and activity is important for a healthy human body. But it is also healthy and vital for a healthy body of Christ. The human body that always eats, if all you ever do is eat with the human body, and you never take any time for exercise, you will be imbalanced and you will be unhealthy. In the body of Christ, if all we ever do is study, 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 consume, consume, consume what the Bible says, but we never get around to actually living the Word, we become unhealthy. We become fat on the Word. We must not, church, get fat on the Word, consuming so much spiritual food that we can no longer walk. The body of Christ is unhealthy when we are fed more and more Bible knowledge, listening to more and more sermons, attending more and more Bible classes, listening to more and more sermon podcasts, can't get enough, consume, consume, eating, 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 all this knowledge, all this understanding, and we're convinced that we still need more knowledge. Meanwhile, we're not doing anything with the knowledge. That's unhealthy. It's an extremely dangerous thing. And what I'm about to say to you right now, you need to understand everything I've been saying, but especially this. It convicts the person standing right here more than it does anybody out there. So I'm saying it as much to me as I'm saying it to you. But it is an extremely dangerous thing to constantly hear the Word of God and not respond to it. Because the more you hear it, the more it becomes easier and easier to listen to it but not do anything about it. To say amen to it but not live it. To hear the sermon and not go out and do anything with it. The more and more you do that, the easier and easier it becomes to happen to you. What Jesus warns us about, and that is being dull of hearing. We can get into the pattern of being able to hear the Word without any practical application of it. That is a dangerous and sick place to be. And when this happens, the body of Christ becomes unhealthy. We must never get comfortable sitting in our proverbial spiritual lazy boy chair, consuming, 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 getting fat on the Word, and never walking the walk, never living the life, never applying the principles, never being convicted and challenged in my own life to look at the way I'm living, the behaviors I'm engaged in, the attitudes I have, the demeanor I'm displaying, and really working on myself by the sharpening of the sword of the Word of God in my life, like a surgeon's scalpel to cut out those things that are the cancers of my spiritual life, to mold me and make me after the will of God and after His image. If I'm never really letting the Word do that to me, it is unhealthy. I have to really be intentional, and I need to do a better job, I'll just be honest with you, but I can't speak for you. I know there are some of you out there that when you're not working or with family or coming to church, you live to be putting on your running shoes and running and going to the gym and all of that. I don't understand what's in your mind, but I think for most of us, we know we need to be fit. We know we need to exercise. We know we need to be healthy. We know it. We have the knowledge. It's not like we don't know. But the hard part is not in the knowing. The hard part is in the doing. A lot of the problems that happen in the body of Christ in churches across our brotherhood, across this nation, and a lot of the division, a lot of the things that happen, it's not because people don't know the Bible. It's because we don't live it. We don't live the Bible. There's where the problem is living it. putting it into practice. Now, if you're like me, and I think most people are this way, even though I know I need to be fit, I need to exercise, and I know I need to be active, that doesn't necessarily mean running or going to the gym, but I need to be physically active. I need to be doing a lot of things to keep my body in shape and stay healthy. If I've not been doing that for a while, and I look up and it's been a week or 2 weeks or a month since I've really been engaged in any real activity, and I've just been sitting at the office desk and I've been sitting on the couch and I've not really been active, my physical body resists new activity. Now, I want you to don't lose my point here. My physical body, if I've not been active, resists new activity. And I have to force my body to get engaged. Because bodies that have been at rest strongly resist new activity. Bodies at rest like being comfortable. But when bodies at rest are pushed to move, whenever I need to go do something, I grumble, I complain, I resist it, my body fights it, and I can become negative when someone is nudging me, Michelle, someone is nudging me to be active. I can become negative, and I can grumble, and I can complain. I heard a quote this week, I thought it was great. I try to stay away from negative people because negative people have a problem for every solution. I think in the body of Christ, we need to be not so quick to be looking for the problems. We need to be quick to looking for the solutions. Amen? Let's be looking for the solutions. Let's be looking for health. Let's be looking for activity. You know what? I would rather on the day of judgment. I'm just going to speak for myself. You speak for yourself because you got to give an account to the throne of judgment for you, not for me. But I got to give an account for me and not for you. But at the throne of judgment, I would rather be accused of doing something and getting a few things wrong as doing nothing. Don't you remember the parable of the talents? The man that buried his talent, I'm so afraid I'll do it wrong, or I'll misstep, or I won't do something exactly right. I know what kind of master he is, so I'll bury it, and I'll keep it safe, and when he returns, I'll return it back to him. He says, you are lazy and wicked, because you didn't take what I gave you and do something with it. The other two guys took a risk. I don't know what they did, but they took a risk, and they invested what they were given, and they were active with it, and they increased their master's holdings. The body of Christ needs to be fit and active if we're going to be healthy. But again, bodies at rest tend to want to stay there. But if we stay there long enough, we will die. For the body of Christ to be healthy, the church everywhere, the church at Maryville, the church of God's people all over this nation and the world, the church, the body of Christ everywhere, if it's going to be healthy, we need leaders to rise up that will push us out of our complacency and into activity in our communities and in our world, in our nation. We need leaders who will call us to action. Leaders who will equip us for equip the saints for the work of the ministry, verse number 12. But you know, whenever those leaders are calling us to that, if we've been at rest, we're going to grumble, we're going to complain, we're going to moan, we're going to pick holes, we're going to say why this won't work and that won't work. And I want to say, God is calling us to get up as the body of Christ and be healthy. And we need to celebrate leaders that are calling us to action. The body of Christ will only be healthy, and it will only grow, it will only become mature as we read here in verse 16, when this happens, when the whole body joined and held together by every joint, with every ligament, with which it is equipped, when every part is working properly, that makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. A body of Christ is healthy when it is fit and active. And that fit and active is most beautifully demonstrated in verse 15, speaking the truth in love. You see, it's not enough to know the truth. We must live the truth. And living the truth usually looks like this. It looks like doing concrete acts of service and outreach and expressions of genuine compassion and love for other people. Knowing truth is the easy part. Living truth is more difficult. But that's what we are called to. Live worthy of the calling with which you have been called, verse number one. A healthy church is one that is both deep and wide, as one author puts it. It is deep and rich in biblical teaching, but wide in its expression of love and outreach and embrace of people in the world and trying to meet the needs of those that are hurting. You see, a healthy church is deep and wide. It balances both truth and grace, conviction and compassion. When the body of Christ is healthy, we will be equipped, and we will value and we will practice equally both word ministry and deed ministry. When we emphasize one to the exclusion of the other, we become imbalanced, unhealthy, sometimes sick as the body of Christ. Word ministry and deed ministry must be equally emphasized in importance. I'm so thankful to the elders here that in their wisdom and judgment some time ago made the decision to hire another minister on staff for the Maryville Church of Christ to add to our team. Benjamin had no idea I was going to say this. But I'm so thankful the elders in their wisdom made that decision, and I'm so thankful that Benjamin chose to come here to be with us, because in my judgment, I'm not sure how he sees it, but here's how I see it. I see his ministry primarily revolving around deed ministry, community outreach, member involvement. What are we doing to be healthy and fit and active and living out our faith? And he is particularly gifted to help lead us in that direction. I can help with some of that, but that's not my particular gifting. I have a passion and a calling from God for word ministry. Is one more important than the other? No, they are equally important. And we've got to hold them both up before ourselves constantly and make sure that we don't just know the word, but we're living the word. And I'm so thankful. Sometimes I want to say something in a sermon and I'm like, you know, I might wish I hadn't have said that. But I've done it before, so. Can I be honest with you? You're not going to hate me if I'm honest, are you? Okay. When I went over and I was helping with the community clothing exchange, and I saw so many of you engaging and working and having conversations and laughing with people from our community, putting on a beautiful face of who we are as God's people. And I look at these piles of clothes and people that are hurting, and I have conversations with a lady who said, I've got two kids and we just lost everything. We don't have anything. My kids have like two pair of clothes each. And she's coming out of there with bags in her arms and tears in her eyes. So thankful that the Maryville Church of Christ was there to help her in her time of need. When I see things like that, and I'm in a building that has a sign that says Community Outreach Center, I'm so thankful that we are using that facility for what the sign says. And I say Godspeed that we do that a lot more. holding up word ministry and deed ministry. Why? Because we want to be the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And to be the body of Christ, we need to be a healthy body that sees that we need balance and clearly keeping in our minds what are the negotiables and the non-negotiables, the difference between matters of faith and opinion. Keep that in clear balance, making sure we have a good, well-rounded diet, never letting go of the conviction that we hold of the truth of what it means to be a follower of Christ and the truth of God's Word and having a healthy, balanced diet of His truth. But then also to be healthy, we need to be fit and active. We need to not just know that information, but live it out and put it into practice and show people that we don't just believe the truth, but the truth has changed us and has made us who we are. And we live it, and people see us living it. That's what it means to be a healthy body of Christ. This week, as I was preparing this sermon, and I was looking around and looking at some different journal articles and things online about what does it mean to have a healthy physical body, I found two different articles that I want to share with you as we draw to a close that were so interesting to me. These were articles that done by studies done by medical professionals that showed that there's a connection usually between somebody who has a healthy body and the relationships that they're in. In fact, there's a strong connection statistically between people that are very physically healthy and that also at the same time are happily married. There's a strong connection between people that are physically healthy and that have supportive friendships with many other people. And I thought, you know, that makes so much sense, because when you read in the book of Ephesians, there are two ideas that Paul just keeps hammering in all six chapters. One is this reoccurring phrase, we need to be in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And you get to chapter 5 and he says, you know what it means to be in Christ? It's like a marriage. Christ is the groom, we are his bride, and we're united together as one. You want to be healthy? You need to be in Christ, in a committed relationship, as strong as the, and even stronger than the commitment of marriage, a covenant relationship with Christ. But not only that, a reoccurring phrase in the book of Ephesians is this idea of we need to be one, our togetherness as a body of believers. We need to be together. What's it talking about? Relationships in Christ. If you want to be healthy as a Christian, you need to be in Christ. If you want to be healthy as a Christian, you need to be plugged in and have significant relationships with other believers that help strengthen you and encourage you and hold you accountable toward living the Christian life. That is what it means to be the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and this morning, let me ask you, are you a part of that body? The way that you are a part of that body, you become a part of that body is by being in Christ. Do you need to come in belief, confession, repentance, and baptism and be baptized into Christ today? Or maybe you've done that, but you know that you're not spiritually healthy because really you've been living your spiritual walk in isolation. And you don't have a lot of significant relationships with other believers. Let me tell you something. I couldn't always say this in every church I've ever been a part of or worshiped with, but I can say for the Maryville Church of Christ, if you don't have significant relationships with people that are genuine believers in this church, you are just not getting connected. You're not maybe, hey, come see Jerry and Bev. Come see Barry and Peggy. I mean, the list goes on and on. You need a friend. There's some friends here. Okay? It's always dangerous to do that because I need to keep going, right? Because this church is full of people like that. Significant relationships. And you can have that, balcony folks. I'm just kidding. You guys got it up there, don't you? You do. You've got meaningful relationships with one another. I don't care where you sit in this church. You can have that. You really can. And you need that to be healthy. because we are the body of Christ. If we can help you in any way, come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.